a little over 2 years ago, God was growing in me this desire to see people come to know Christ. Specifically, it was this desire to see teens experience the love of Jesus for the first time and have their lives completely changed for the better. And so naturally, I started looking for ways and places that I could fulfill this drive and desire. And so one path that I ended up finding to try to put this drive to good use was to volunteer with a local parachurch organization. And I had only just started hearing about them. And I had already heard amazing things about them. And this Christian group just seemed like the great idea. And so I found out that they were actually in need of volunteers at the time. And so it seemed like the perfect timing and the perfect thing. So I signed up immediately. And I was really excited. And I got the chance to sit in with some different leaders from the group and talk to them and get to know them, and then go to some of their gatherings and just experience what they did, see how they did their stuff. And I learned that the focus of this group was all about just being present with students from local high schools and be there for them if they need someone to just kind of care for them, to look up to in their life. And you would go, they played games with them, they went to all their sports events, and then hopefully someday, you know, Lord willing, you'd get a chance to point them to Jesus when they're ready. And so it looked like a ton of fun, and it was just like the kind of thing that I was looking for. And so I jumped right into it and went through the trainings and the meetings and whatnot and got myself ready to be able to volunteer my abilities the best that I could. And so I started off strong, but as a few months went by, I found myself quickly losing steam. And so I thought this was exactly the thing that I was looking for, but the more that each week passed and each month dragged on, I felt more and more burnt. It wasn't quite what I expected it to be. And it was as though participating with this group wasn't fulfilling what I expected it to when I had signed up. And I was getting more and more disappointed and confused with it. I would go to God, I was like, God, why is this happening? Why am I feeling so burnt by this? I did this for you. So why isn't it going the way that I expected it would go? And now, I bet I'm not the only one here who's ever had that really great idea that they then made a plan for and followed it all the way through just for it to not end up the way that you thought it was going to end up. I'm pretty sure that every one of us here has probably been at that place, or at least something similar, beforehand. We've all made these plans and then watch them go away that we never expected them to. Maybe your plan was about a career you were going to go into, but then you find yourself working a job that maybe you never expected to work when you were first planning your life. I remember that I expected to graduate high school and immediately venture off to college in a completely different state to chase whatever my dream career would end up being. But that didn't end up the way that I expected it to when the time came to graduate. And so instead, I was like, oh, well, I'll just take a year or two and then go ship off to college. But that didn't go the way that I thought it was going to either. And it made me a little frustrated at the time. Maybe you had a plan of what your life would look like when you got to this age that you're at now. Or maybe you had a plan of when you would specifically get married and when you'd have a family in this, like, in your little town inside your dream house. But maybe that hasn't turned out the way that you thought it would either. Maybe you had your family in your house, in your town, and your kids are grown up now, but maybe your relationship with them isn't quite what you expected it to be either. Maybe as they grew up and they moved out, you thought that they would stop in more often to see you or call when they need help or advice. But maybe that doesn't happen as often as you expected. Maybe it leaves you wondering if they need you as much anymore. And if they don't, what does that mean about who you are? Maybe you thought you knew how those specific relationships in your life were going to go. Maybe you had this idea of all the things you would do with this one specific person or even this small group of people, but that didn't quite shake out the way that you thought it would either. What plans is it that you've made that maybe didn't go the way that you hoped they would? It's hard when life and our plans don't ever go the way that we expect them to. It's frustrating when we have to start planning for things that we never expected to plan for in the first place. And it can be upsetting when you thought your relationship with God was going to look one way or lead to this specific thing, but you don't find yourself there right now. Maybe you wonder why you're feeling not as happy as you expected you would at this time, or why you're feeling more sad or alone than you did before. Why is this thing so hard? It could feel like everything's kind of been pulled out from under you. It's not easy when God says no to the way that we expect or think that our life should be. It's just not easy. Why would he say no? You know, has God saying no ever made you wonder if you did something wrong or made a wrong decision along the way? Has it ever made you wonder if you just weren't good enough of a person, or made you wonder if it's a punishment of some sort? Maybe you had a plan to do something good, just like I had with this parachurch group, but that plan didn't work out quite the way that you expected it to. You see, we all like to make plans, and God makes plans too. The reality is, sometimes our human plans and expectations aren't quite God's plans and expectations. And when God says no to something that we've been planning for and pursuing, it can be disappointing and confusing as to why. So there's this man from Bible Times, he's known as King David. He also had plans, good plans, but he was told no, just like we can be told no sometimes. David's known by some as the man after God's own heart, and the one who danced in the streets as a mode of praising the Lord. He was one of the most devoted people to God, and he too found himself in a place where he was told no to the plans that he expected. We're going to read about that in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 today. So 1 and 2 Chronicles, they're not the most well-known books of the Bible. They're a pair of books. They're about a quarter of the way through the through the whole Bible. They're located in the Old Testament. Fun fact, they actually, 1 and 2 Chronicles was meant to be one whole book of Chronicles, but it was so long that the scribes who wrote it out had to find a whole second scroll to finish writing the book. And since then, it's just always been known as 1 and 2 Chronicles for that reason. And so in 1 Chronicles, we read about the nation of Israel during the time of David's reign as king. And so 1 Chronicles 17, verse 1 and 2 says, "When David was settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan the prophet. 'Look,' David said, 'I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of the Lord's covenant is out under a tent.' And Nathan replied to David, 'Do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you.'" So here's David, the king of the nation of Israel, sitting on his throne in his newly built palace. He's got cedar beams and archways rising high above his head. And he suddenly realizes that while he's in his big, splendid palace, the Ark of God's covenant is outside in a tent. During the Old Testament times, it was understood that God's presence would dwell with the ancient Israelites, dwell with the ancient Israelite people on this Ark of the Covenant. The Ark is this special box. It was made of acacia wood and overlaid entirely in gold. And they had cherubim built on top of it, which are angelic beings, built on top of it to act as a throne for God's presence to sit on. And the Ark was kept inside of a tent that was roughly about the size of a two-car garage, which is big for our tents today, but is also like, it's a small little thing compared to a king's palace. And so here's David in his newly constructed palace, and thinking about why should the ark be out in this little tent? And so David gets this idea to do something about it. He calls his pal Nathan, who's the prophet, who speaks on God's behalf. And Nathan sees David's desire to do something good, to build God his own big and beautiful palace of honor to sit in. And so Nathan's like, oh yeah, go right ahead. Clearly God must be giving you this desire because it seems like it's a good thing. But when we continue to read from there, Chronicles says, but that same night, God said to Nathan, go tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. What? What does God mean that David isn't going to be the one to build a house for him to live in? Both David, the man known as after God's own heart, and Nathan the prophet who speaks for God, agree that it's a good idea. So why would God say no? Well, David has a good idea, a plan to build God a temple, worthy of the creator of the universe to live in. But David's plan was not God's plan. In verse 5, God says, I have never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. My home has always been a tent, moving from one place to another in a tabernacle. See, although David had a good idea, he didn't stop and ask God what he wanted to do first about it. It turns out God actually wanted to live in a tent. God had chosen to live in a tent because tents were humble and they were mobile. By living in a tent, God was making the statement that he was going to be where his people were at, and he was going to go wherever they were going. He wasn't making them travel to some far-off country to meet with him. He was present with them wherever they were going. And so along with God to having this different plan of where he should live, when David's talking to his son Solomon in chapter 22 of Chronicles, David actually reveals that God had a second plan as well. And it says, my son, I wanted to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God, David told him. But the Lord said to me, you have killed many men in the battles you have fought. And since you have shed so much blood in my sight, you will not be the one to build a temple to honor my name. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace. I will give him peace with his enemies in all the surrounding lands. His name will be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel during his reign. So when the time comes for a magnificent temple to be built for God, God actually decides he wants David's son, Solomon, to be the one to build it, not David, who had the idea in the first place. At first glance, this can come across as and seem like a punishment, as if it's because of David's battles that God won't let him build this temple. But we also know that from elsewhere in Scripture that the battles that David fought were for the defense and the freedom of God's people. David fought the battles only because God called him to do so. So, no, actually, instead of punishment, what I think is happening is that God is simply highlighting the fact that he has a different plan. He has different plans for both David and for Solomon. David and Solomon are each unique people with unique gifts that God has given each of them. God didn't have the same exact plan for David they'd have for Solomon, because God's plans are designed exactly for the uniqueness of each of them. With God's help, David would end up becoming this mighty warrior king that would defend Israel and lead them in battle. And with God's help, Solomon became a wise king who lived in a peaceful era and would build God's temple. And God chose Solomon to build his temple because of this peace that Solomon carried, because God's temple is meant to be a place of peace. And so David and Solomon were these different people with different God-given strengths. And that's why God had different plans for each of them. Okay, so David had a good idea to build God a temple. but it wasn't God's idea. See, we believe that Jesus is the embodiment of God going to where the people are all at, to live life with us on earth, day to day, going through our activities with us. Well, in a similar sense, God chose to live in a tent for much of the Old Testament to show that he was going from heaven to where the people he loved were at. And then he was going to travel with them wherever they went. That was God's plan. And God had a different plan for David because he knew what David's strengths were and what Solomon's strengths would be. And so he planned for each of David and Solomon to be able to do what he created each of them to do, which was different than what David originally had planned for himself. So God says no sometimes because the plans we make aren't his plans for us. God's plans for your life aren't the exact same plans he has for anyone else because he's made you unique. He's given you a soul like no one else's. And for that reason, he has plans designed for you like he's designed for no one else. Those plans are unique when compared to other people's plans. They're also unique when they're compared to your own plans for yourself. The way that you think you should live isn't always the way that God intends for you to live. The things that you plan to do, the things you plan to have, they aren't always the things that God plans for us. The way that we plan to spend our time or how we expect our relationship with God will look, how we think we're going to serve him or honor him, isn't always exactly how God plans to spend time with us. But hold up, that doesn't mean that God's going to force you into a life that you don't want to live. He won't force you to follow a plan that you're against. Because if we continue to read in 1 Chronicles 17, you'll see that God explains his different plan to David. And David responds to God by choosing to follow God's plan, not David's own plan. But God having a different plan for you than you expect also isn't restrictive. God promises you in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster. Plans that give you a future and a hope." And God promises us in Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." God has plans for you, and they are good plans. They're not meant to bring you harm or disaster. They're meant to fill you with hope and with peace. So when God says no to something that you expect, it's not because he's trying to be mean, and it's not because he doesn't want you to have good things or to do good things. It's because he has even better things for you than you ever could imagine or plan for yourself. But does that mean that we shouldn't make plans? No, of course not. Proverbs 16:9 says that the mind of a person plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. God has given each of us an ability to make plans for a reason. God wasn't mad at David for making any plans. In fact, Nathan the prophet, speaking, who normally speaks on God's behalf, tells David to continue with his plans until God says otherwise. And so I'm not saying that we should just sit and do nothing until we have every little piece of God's plan figured out. We should make plans, but we have to be ready for when God changes the steps that we take towards that plan, or when he changes up the plan entirely. Because Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could ever imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So, how do you be ready for when God changes your steps or shows you a new plan? Well, firstly, we have to do what David neglected to do when he was planning to build God a temple. David didn't stop and ask God if God actually wanted a temple. So when we're making a plan, we need to stop and ask God if he wants us to follow this plan. And when we have an idea, we should stop and ask God if that idea is from him. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, that sounds great, but I can't exactly just walk up to God like I can anyone else and ask him a question. And I understand where you're coming from. So how do we ask God if something is his plan for us? Well, first, if we want to know what God has to say about something, we have to listen to the things that he's already said before, which is all recorded within the Bible. Studies show that reading our Bibles at least 4 times a week makes noticeable impacts and changes to how we live our life. And now, sometimes that sounds intimidating to read your Bible at least 4 times a week. And if you need help with that, we have plans, reading plans, to help you get into the scripture and get into a rhythm of reading it, located at the Connection Center or on our website to make it easy for you. And the second thing, we have to pray about it. Prayer can feel like this big thing, and people can talk it up sometimes. But at its core, prayer is just an honest conversation with God. Whether it's in your own head or if it's talking out loud, whether you want to write it out or if you type it out better, it doesn't matter how you talk, prayer is just a conversation. But the most important thing about that conversation is that it takes both talking and listening. Talking and sharing and being honest with God about anything and everything, but also stopping to listen and to sit in the silence and the quiet and to wait for him to answer. And so when you ask God what his plan is, you can't be married to your idea of how things are going to shake out. You have to hold loosely to your expectations, aka being willing to let go of or to move away from your original plans. Romans 12 instructs believers to offer their lives as living sacrifices to God, and that includes all of our plans. And then Psalm 37 says to commit your ways to the Lord. So really, it's all about surrender. Saying no more doing things the way that I would do them on my own. Let's do things whatever way you want to, God. Saying not my way, but your way, Jesus. So give up your plans to God. Let go of how you would make things be and give him your expectations. That doesn't mean that the thing that you hope for will never happen. Sometimes God will still give us the things we want. It just may take longer or happen later than we expect it to. God still had a temple built for him, and David still got to collect the supplies for it and prepare Solomon to build it. It just wasn't built as soon as David had planned to have it built. But whether the thing that we're planning for happens later than we expect, or never happens at all, choosing to live the life of someone who follows Jesus means letting go of the way that we think our lives should look. As a believer, it's not about our way of life. It's about his way of life. It's about Jesus's way of living each day. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, as the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament. And I know that all of that isn't easy. It feels like this very big and difficult thing. And yes, I know it is. It is. But it's also simple. It's simply saying, yes, I surrender my plans to you, Jesus. Have it your way. Have my life your way. And don't worry, you're not going to do this on your own. Not at all. God promises to be with you the whole time. He'll never leave you or abandon you. So surrendering your plans is hard, but God will be there to help you every single step of the way, no matter what. And so back to 2 years ago, when I decided to work with this organization to help reach teens, I didn't stop and listen to what God wanted, to what God said I should do first. My desire and the idea wasn't a bad thing, I believe it was a good thing, a good idea, but it wasn't God's idea for me at that time. And so I wore out and was exhausted because I started doing something that wasn't something God had actually asked me to do. And when I went to God about being tired from it, he told me that I couldn't do the thing that I thought was the good thing to do. God had something better planned. And now I didn't find out what that better was until sometime later, but that better involved ministry here at the church. And if I hadn't listened to when God said no, there's a good chance I might not be up here being able to share this with you guys or to being able to serve the people that I really love. If I hadn't listened to God telling me no, I would have missed out on more than I had ever knew was coming. But to experience any of that, I had to first let go of the way that I wanted things to be or I expected it to look. Because God told me no. And that's hard. It was hard. It's not easy when anyone hears no. And it's not easy for anyone to follow up by letting go. But in the words of a pastor from Arizona named Preston Morrison, sometimes the sweetest thing that God can say is no. Because his plans that he has are better than the ones we have. But to experience God's good plans for us, plans meant to bring us hope, peace, fulfillment in life, we have to let go and surrender of the idea that this life will go the way that we expect it to. And once we do, we get to experience this brand new way of living life. And when we stop and we listen to God saying no, and we obey, and we change our plans and live this brand new way of life, it does more than just change our lives for the better. It also touches the lives of every person around us and brings good to them as well. And so, at the end of the day, if you hear anything from this, hear that sometimes the plans that we have won't be the plans that God has for us. But God's plans for us will be better than we could ever imagine, and they will be more hopeful and peace-filled in our life than we could predict. And so this week, I challenge you, and myself included, to take one thing that we have, one plan, one expectation, one hope, to take it to God, to ask him, what is his plan with this? God, what's your plan with this idea I have? And whatever he says in response, whatever he says that his plan will be with it, I hope that we all will be at a place where we can let go of our ideas and our expectations of how it will look and follow his plans instead.